reincarnation, the R word. And boy, there I was right in the middle of this prayer. And guess what happened? This energy, man, I reincarnated. I was born again, let me tell you. In that second, I tell you, the spirit, I got a witness. I got a spiritual witness that began to enter my body, and not from any lower chakra. It came right into the heart and mind. And it told me, without a shadow of a doubt, yeah, there is reincarnation. And I said, okay, well, you know what, this could just be, you know, a little unsettling in the force here. I need to know for sure. So I said, oh, you have little faith. I'll stay with you for a couple of days. When I'm through with you, you'll know for sure that there is such a thing as reincarnation in multiple lifetimes. Come to find out, all the early members of the Mormon Church, by the way, just incidentally, believed in reincarnation. How many know that? They called it eternal lives and multiple probations, just so you know. But they lost multiple. What's a multiple probation if it's not more than one lifetime? So I got a witness that lasted for 3 days that opened this center, and it sent me on a path that from whence I could not return. And so I know, you know, if you have a question and you're feeling like you're bouncing against a glass ceiling, you go ahead and break it. Break it, shatter that ceiling, and you'll find that it'll just take you further and further. And that knowledge, which I began to teach to my students in Sunday school class, like I was teaching the 12-year-olds, and teaching about, you know, and the kids just loved it. I said, well, go home and tell your mom and dad about that idea. And they did. And I was called in. And I said, you know what? You can't hurt me. You cannot hurt me because I know the truth. And I lost my marriage, my job, because I sold real estate for a Mormon a broker. All my friends in the Mormon Church wrote me letters, said, we cannot hang out with you anymore, you're an apostate. And you know what? It didn't matter. What mattered was this center had opened, and I was at a place of inner peace, and I could not be disturbed by anything outside of that center again. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Curtis.
Now the only friend he's got is me. And Wayne.
And his sister.
And his sister. Family. Family don't ever let you down. Okay, so you're moving along, and then you have a crisis happen in your life, and eventually, in one particular lifetime, you touch what I call touching the soul. You feel a vibration that you've never felt before. You probably even went through being an atheist, a born-againer, lots of different things, until finally you reach a point where nothing seemed to work, and you feel you reach a dead end, and you feel there's got to be something more, and then something more finally opens up, and a new energy comes into you. It may have been this life, it may have been a past life, it may be your next life, but sooner or later it happens to everybody. And this is called birth of the Christ within the heart. And it's our first step to being like the Master who walked in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He had to have that first step many lifetimes ago for himself. The same step that we now have. As any other being is, no matter how advanced he is, we can become. As any other being is behind us, we have been. And so, that's the beauty of it, is the most important thing is that we are in motion. It's not so important where we are. This is what the big illusion that hampers many people along the path. Many people will touch the spiritual energy, and they'll think, well, wonder how advanced I am. I'm probably on my last life. You know, I'm pretty but smarter. I'm a lot smarter than these guys I see around me, you know. So, you know, I'm probably pretty up there with Jesus, pretty close. You laugh, but I've met people like this. And so their focus is on where they are rather than where they're going. Okay? So if you are here and you think you're here, and you think you're here, that means you're going to go through the woods this way instead of being here and going on the real path. So if you think you're on the wrong place, if you think you're farther ahead than you are or farther behind than you are, if you don't have a reasonable idea of where you are and move accordingly, then you'll be wasting a lot of time and irritating everybody around you because they'll think, boy, that guy's got a big ego. He thinks he's so smart. He thinks he's so righteous or so advanced. And I'm the one that's advanced, you know. So what do you do if you don't know where you are? If you don't know where you are, don't just figure, well, I must be way up there. No, tune in to what it is you feel within yourself your next step is. And if your next step is just simple, like, say, learning to play the guitar, maybe, or maybe just learning some new skill. And if you take the right step and you begin learning that, even though you may not be good at it, when you make that learning activity, it will feel really good to yourself, really fulfilling. It'll be amazing because you, first of all, didn't want to do it, but then when you learn that one thing in this life that you're supposed to be learning, it will feel really good. You'll have a peace about yourself from learning it. You'll think, how come I didn't do this earlier? I had signs I was supposed to do it, but I ignored them because I wasn't good at it. But now that I'm learning it, it feels really great to be moving. And now my particular lesson I had to learn, I had to go kicking and screaming in that direction because I didn't want to do it. But when I finally yielded, I felt a strong peace about doing it. And so each one of us needs to find that one thing that you're supposed to learn. A little bit like Curly in that movie. One thing. You're supposed to do. You need to find that one thing. Now, we do many things in a particular lifetime, but I'm talking about a particular lesson. Each one of us has to learn a particular lesson before we can really move on and be of service to humanity. We have to be service to ourselves first and learn that one particular lesson. Yeah, Wayne?
I've been thinking about the Tibetans' definition of true modesty or true humility. You'll probably quote it better than I can, but he says something like, true humility is realizing your true position on life's path. Anything else is false modesty.
Right. So learn your true position and then act accordingly. So. Yeah, I'm pretty close to Jesus, so I'm going to act that way. I don't know. No. We learn. I like one of the parables he gave about this. It is really good. He says, back in those days, in the days of Christ, when you were invited to a party, the master seated you at various places around the table according to your status. Okay, and he says, now if you are invited to a party and you seat yourself at the number one position, and then the host says, no, you don't belong here. Go to the number 12 position. He says, you'll be humiliated. So if you're smart, you'll sit in the lowest status chair. That way, if he moves you up, he says, you'll feel good. You'll think, moving up. This is good. But if you think you're his best friend and you sit in the number one position at the table at the party and he moves you to number 12 because you're really at the bottom of the list, it would be embarrassing. He says, even so it is with your spiritual progress. He says, don't assume you're number one. He says, be humble. Assume maybe if you don't know where you are, just put yourself at the bottom. And then when the time comes that you discover that, hey, you're supposed to move up, he says, you'll be honored. And I always like that teaching. So if we don't know where we are, just assume that, you know, who knows? I could have, if I was one of the apostles I met, it might have been Judas. Who knows? Don't assume that you're the beloved if you were back there. And then you may discover, well, I was a beloved in the past life. Boy, that's great, you know.